My name is Clarence Rick Napier, CEO at 321 BizDev LLC, a California consulting firm, and welcome to the 321 Biz Development Take Control of Your Business podcast, which includes about 400 episodes and can be heard on 18 podcast platforms. 321 BizDev is not a marketing company. 321 BizDev is a sales systems and business development company supporting attorneys, CPAs, corporate dental franchisers, independent dentists, home health providers, home builders, medical groups, plastic surgeons, insurance brokers, real estate brokers, restaurants, tattoo shops, boutique shops, hairstylists, HVAC companies, and plumbers. 321 BizDev provides expert sales productivity and sales performance solutions for growth that work. Every solution we discuss on this podcast, 321 BizDev can perform. Our website is 321bizdev.com, and I can be reached at 726-999-0999. Today's podcast guest is Sam Altawil, JD, and author. And I just want to give people a little background about Sam. Sam is a seasoned HR professional with industry experience from manufacturing, consulting, to more recent healthcare. He holds a bachelor's degree in social sciences from the California State University at Sacramento and a Juris Doctorate from New College of California Law School. Sam is the author of the book On the Edge of Effectiveness, Refocusing HR Efforts to Strengthen Organizations, which can be found on Amazon.com. Sam earned the reputation of getting the job done. He learned many of the challenges facing HR, adapted to unforeseeable, difficult events while elevating and developing his team to their full potential. His greatest asset is his ability to stay composed under pressure. He led two broken, federally qualified healthcare centers, organizations dedicated to serving the underprivileged, and won best HR practice in one of the complex federal audits by Health Resources and Services Administration Department, the HRSA. In 2015 and 2016, Sam and his HR team guided the organization to win Best Place to Work by North Bay Business Journal, a media outlet north of San Francisco. I met Sam about 10 years ago as we used to share business stories at a local Sacramento coffee shop. We just recently reconnected at, as you guessed it, a coffee shop, but this time it was at Pete's Coffee. I don't want to steal any of Sam's thunder, but I want to tell listeners that Sam is very focused on delivering real solutions for real employer challenges. So without any further delay, I would like to welcome Sam Altawil to the 321 Biz Development Take Control of Your Business podcast. So, hello, Sam. How are you doing?
Thank you very much, Rick. I'm doing wonderful, and thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Always. And again, I want to thank you for at least us. I mean, I'm not sure you can thank me or I can thank you, but our fate allowed us to reconnect again at Pete's Coffee in Roseville. So I want to thank you for at least doing your part by showing up, and I showed up as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's a mutual thing, definitely.
So Sam, it is a tradition on the 321 Biz Development podcast for our business owner guests to talk about what jobs, occupation, education they have had before discussing their current business activities or work activities. Please tell us all about Sam Altawil before you became an attorney and started your career in HR consulting and in-house HR leadership.
Yeah, of course, absolutely. Well, you know, during college time, as we all know, when you go to college, you're trying to figure out what you really want to do, what you want to do with degree, and more likely, what are you good at? That's one of the most important things. What do you excel at? I went into social sciences because a lot of human relations, that's something I've been kind of strong at. During that time, I worked in kind of various jobs, but I kind of fell into working in an HR department. I started out as a temp, actually, and as I'm working there, there was a gentleman named Anna Smith who was really, really a great, you know, wonderful man who kind of helped me kind of saw that the potential of me to do more. The more I worked, the more I thought about getting my graduate degree. And as things started to change in California and things in the HR world, I almost took the route of taking, actually getting an MBA, but between him and my professor and others, kind of talked me into going to law school. And I'm glad they did. Law school really provided me with a lot more than just understanding the law, but understanding how to be analytical, to be very in areas where I can actually able to see potential risks for organizations, and not to mention learn how to communicate in front of people and be actually persuasive. So it kind of gave me a lot of skills to do that, and it's certainly not an easy thing to do, but it's if anybody's interested in doing it, I would highly recommend it. And the education of law is wonderful.
Excellent. Now, Sam, you know, graduating from CSU Sacramento, as we call it here in Sacramento, Sac State, of all the things that you could do, and I think you'll probably tell us, because I think I already know what it is, I think, but what was that big draw to move or to take the career path to the legal industry?
The legal industry is somewhat broad. I mean, most individuals think that if you get your law degree, which is your JD, that you are basically kind of pigeonholed to do one thing, and that is practice law. That's not true. There are people have used it in different various things. I give you an example. One of my friends graduated from Georgia and went straight to the FBI. Others went into real estate. Others went into, for example, tax law or just practice. Primarily, the reason why I also chose the law degree, because when you look at actually human resources as a discipline, it's actually combined with three disciplines: behavior health, behavior science, business, and law. And the third of that is law, and comes in very quite regularly, especially if organizations have a union. If they have a union, they have a union contract, and you're facing arbitration or your potential grievances, all those, your legal training comes in a lot handy. So it really was a strong addition to my education background for me to do my profession.
Nice. Now, you know, I think I told you that I used to work in corporate America myself, and I recall at least looking at HR from as an outsider, because that wasn't my department.
Right.
What have you seen as the most significant changes in the HR management space compared to maybe 10 to 15 years ago?
I think 10, 15 years ago, they were focused on a lot of processes. Basically, they wanted to make sure that all your processes are aligned to do all the things that are necessary and to move things forward, whether it be a recruitment, performance management, training, and so on. Some of that still exists today. I think there's no doubt about it. But the most important thing, we still go back to basically leadership training. We still have whether it's 15 years ago, 20 years ago to now, you still have a challenge with leadership training, because what ends up happening is a lot of leaders become, a lot of young people or even people who have been around for a long time, they fall into leadership without any training. And that's kind of been, without training, well, it becomes, practicing trial and error in a sense. You're leading by trial and error. Well, that has had a lot of problems, and so a lot of things surfaced out about training, where to start, when to do it, where to go. That's one of them. The other factor I think that's really have come up and probably relates to that is diversity, equity, and inclusion. And part of it is in the hiring process of diversity. Inequity, obviously, in the areas of basically pay, performance reviews, and of course, promotions. All these things come in, and not to mention inclusion, including those who are diverse and included in the conversations. So that part is a lot of engagement. So the DEI part kind of falls in the same areas of with good leadership. If you have good leadership, they're applying those strategies and so on. So all these things are kind of connected together. And today, right now, the most conversations they talk about is diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Well, yeah, and that's definitely in the news. I mean, you can't have a conversation or at least hear a discussion about management without hearing about diversity, equity, and inclusion. So yeah, you're right about that. Here's my next question, Sam. Do you think the employer-employee interaction has more challenges today than 15 years ago? And if yes, what are those challenges making sound human resource policies and guidelines more important than ever before?
The answer is yes. There always been that engagement between leadership and employees, more so today than anything, and probably especially during COVID and post-COVID that we're facing. There has been a lot of divisions, you know, simply because communications have been bad. But even prior to COVID, that has been the case quite a bit. And again, it kind of goes back to this thing about actually having proper leaders in the organization and proper leadership training in the organization. They understand now, after all these studies have done, and they understand all these things, the more leadership are engaged with their employees, and the more employees are engaged with the organization, the more likely our employees are going to perform better. And if they perform better, at the end of the day, they're going to be more productive and more profitable for the organization. So it all connects together. And while this is still a topic that many have still challenged with, others, some companies have really taken on that really well, and they're doing it, and it shows on their profitability and also retention and so on.
Yep. Yeah, I definitely agree. That's I recall when I was, you know, kind of had my toe in on the HR side, because as a hiring manager, you know, I was always asked about what did I need, and, you know, and specify in the job description, especially if the role required that person to have some leadership skills too. So Yeah, I definitely can understand exactly what you're saying. So here's my next question, Sam. Employers, they have I would say today they have I don't want to call it a battle, but I would say it's more, they're working harder than maybe they did 10 to 15 years ago. So What do you see as the employer impacts? And we're talking about perhaps legal, financial, and morale, of not developing a strong human resources platform.
Was a question I asked by one CEO asked me recently, when do you think that we really need HR? Do you think we need HR, you know, at this employee? Do we think we need more than two people for this many amount of people? On and on and on. I said, well, let's look at it this way. Okay, what is exactly HR does from your daily cycle life? You know, the daily life cycle of HR. You're servicing your customer, doing customer service to your employees. That's number one. You're mitigating risks. That's number two. You're doing any sort of conflict resolution, and that happens quite often. And four, you're doing future planning with the leadership team, specifically executive team, and so on. So when you look at those broad big categories, there's a lot going on there, and there's more to it than just processes. And so when I presented that to the CEO, he understood what I meant. Because reality is, there's more, HR has so many things that people do. That's not even including safety, that's not including engagement, that's including a whole lot of things. This is just the four broad categories that we deal with from a day-to-day operations. And so it's necessary for organizations that are at least 50 and more employees to have strong HR. If you're, you know, even if you have 30 employees only, you still need somebody to do the processes, make sure everything is legal, make sure everything is done properly, because whether it's termination, hiring, and so on. So, and especially in the state of California, or actually anywhere in America today. So those are very important to have.
Yep. I mean, I'm just looking back, and I can, you know, when I used to go out and meet with other companies and talk about the company that I work for and we talked about our products and services, I would look around, and sometimes I was able to tell if a company had a strong HR department, or if they're just, you know, flying by the seat of their pants. And typically, if they were flying by the seat of their pants, it made my work even tougher. So you're bringing back some memories that I said, oh man, I wish they had Sam. I wish they had Sam. I wish this company had Sam. And so I totally get it. I totally see what you're saying. So here's one of my almost last questions. Okay, so your range of human resources consulting and in-house leadership development spans many different industries. My question is, where would a CEO, or let's say for instance, a CEO is at this point where they have to say, man, I need some help with HR.
Right.
When does a CEO get to that point when they have to pick up the phone and call you?
I hope before they have any sort of employment litigation. I hope. I mean, I think if they start to see that there are conflict within, you know, within employees and actually leadership, and there's a miscommunications and nothing going right, I hope it will be done sooner than later. You don't want to wait when the conflict becomes too big. There are two things that could happen. If the CEOs or any leaders of the organization allow the employees that, and they're not being heard, let me just put it that way, you're not listening to them, you're not being heard, you're not somehow trying to find a solution to these conflicts, the employee is going to go somewhere else. And the employee is going to go, usually they're going to go down to a union. And they're going to go to a union rep, and then they're going to start the process of being unionized. That has always happened. That's how unions begin in a lot of organizations. And then for the CEO, now he's going to have to deal with not only what he had to deal with it before, but now he has to deal with the unions and so on and so on. So now it becomes even a bigger challenge. The most important thing is that if you're having those communications and there are conflicts that are not being resolved and things are not moving in the right direction, then you need some HR help, you know, ASAP to basically mitigate that risk and so on. Not to mention, you will have turnovers as well. You want to also keep your top people if you're not really addressing their issues and so on. So these are some of the challenges that you have. There are some signs and symptoms you look for into doing that. And it will show in productivity. And if people are unhappy, their productivity is not going to be good. And so you have to kind of stay on top of that, and you have to keep your hands on the pulse of the organization, so to speak.
Got it. And now I just thought of a side question, Sam.
Sure.
And maybe you can provide some feedback on this. So let's say a CEO has an HR department, and mm-hmm. let's say the CEO senses that perhaps the existing HR management, and that's in that hierarchy, something is not right. Mm-hmm. Have you seen this situation in your consulting experience, and what have you recommended to CEOs when there's something not working in that HR management chain?
Good question, actually. In fact, that's part of why reason I wrote the book. I'm actually taken over many different dysfunctional departments where I turned them around. Part of it is because from my analysis, I saw the departments they lacked on fundamentals. They're kind of missing that key customer service, you know, criteria. They were just not serving the employees and the management properly. They become the no department, so to speak. That's what they all saying is that every time somebody comes to HR and say, well, can we do something? They say no. Well, that's not good enough reason. You have to sit there, and if you're going to say no because it violates something, then you have to ask what exactly do you want, and what are you trying to do? So HR should find you some alternative ways to help move things forward. If you're not getting that, and you're not getting HR being a true business partner, helping you move things forward, even though you have tried many different avenues, then I think it's time to look at your leadership and say, why is that not happening? Other things I could do is this: ask, why do we do the things we do? In other words, ask HR people, why do you do this? Why do you do that? They should have an answer for everything. If we have a process in place, then we should have a valid, rational reason as to why we use that process and how it actually serves. And if you don't have that, well then, well, that's a competency issue now.
Wow, that makes sense. I got to tell you. And again, I've seen that. I've seen that in my past, you know, management life within the company and outside of, you know, looking at other companies. So here's my last question, Sam. If you can, please provide some closing comments and let employers or HR professionals who have to make decisions about their HR departments, please mm-hmm. let these individuals know how to best contact you.
The simplest way, and I'll be honest with you, the simplest way If they Google my name, Sam Altwiel, and they find me on LinkedIn, I get a lot of messages through LinkedIn through that way. It really has become kind of a really, LinkedIn is so public, and everyone who's a professional is on LinkedIn today, and so they, you're bound to find me. That's the easiest way. And of course, when you Google my name, you'll also see quite a bit of the things that I do. So right off the bat, the first page is practically, everything that I've kind of done in the last few years, so to speak. Google included me in an area called Knowledge Panel, where you kind of had to qualify, and I guess they qualified me for that. So that's another way. That's why if you Google my name, you'll see everything there.
Excellent. Excellent. So Sam, I want to thank you for being a guest today. And on the 321 Biz Development Take Control of Your Business podcast, if this episode provokes some deep thought about improving your overall company performance, please do not hesitate to contact me, Rick Napier, at 726-999-0999. Interested parties can also visit 321bizdev.com/services to complete a 5-minute questionnaire so 321BizDev can learn more about your current sales situation or business situation, or so that we can learn about your current or past experiences with trying to improve sales performance. Please complete the questionnaire and a 321BizDev specialist will contact you within 2 business days. We hope you enjoyed today's podcast episode with our guests, Sam Altwiel, JD, and author of the book, On the Edge of Effectiveness, Refocusing HR Efforts to Strengthen Organizations, which again can be found on Amazon.com. Thank you, Sam, and thank you, listeners,
thank you.
And make it a great day.